Excellent. Okay, all the cases then we looked at then in that first half, all of them arrived fairly abruptly, didn't they, at a crossroads in life. They faced questions, they faced choices, significant choices they had to make, life-changing choices. And that's really what I wanted to look at now in this second half, is the choices that people make. For example, you know, the number of choices that are available to people, how people make those choices, and more importantly, how we personally cope with making choices and the choices we make. And it's funny, isn't it, that we're actually in life, we love making choice, or we like the idea of having choice. It's seen as a luxury to have a choice. And yet the irony in all of this is that most of us don't like making choices. Most of us find it really hard making choices, even hate making choices. And what a paradox that is. A little story for you. We went to France some years ago on holiday. We hired a holiday cottage. And when we were packing, we noticed there was a TV there. So I thought, I'll check out what's on the TV, etc., and see if there's any English channels on there. Turn this TV on, only to find that it had 350 channels on this thing. Sorry, I must have some kind of cable or whatever service to it. And so I thought, in a very blokey way, I sat down with my remote control and I sat through and I thought, I'll start at number one and I'll work my way through and I'll see what's on there, and you know, we'll then know which channels are worth watching and which ones aren't. And I reckon I must have spent a good half an hour or more systematically flicking through channel after channel after channel, only to find there wasn't a channel on there that was worth watching. There was only two channels out of all those that had English speaking, and neither of those were worth watching. And the point is, the choice was huge, enormous choice. I viewed that as a good thing. Wow, all this choice, isn't this brilliant? And yet the reality was, the choices that were there weren't worth making. There weren't the channels there to watch that I wanted to watch. And I think that's true in many areas of life. And I'm sure you'll be familiar with many of them. For example, shopping. When we go shopping for things, we have huge choice. And maybe, ladies, you'll be particularly familiar with shoe shopping, for example, as depicted there. And when you go into a shoe shop, there aren't just two pairs of shoes that potentially you could buy or you could try on and would potentially fit you. There are probably 200 pairs of shoes in that shop that would actually do the job. And yet still, after half an hour, you'll come away saying, well, there wasn't really anything there. And we all know that's not true. You know, there's plenty of shoes there to choose from, but we couldn't make the choice. Another one I distinctly remember is the old style sweet shop, where you go in and there's all those glass jars behind the counter. You know, there's probably 50 or 60 varieties of sweet to look at behind the counter to choose from. And again, I remember, you know, standing there probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes, can't choose between which type I was going to buy. And we struggle with it. And yet, God knows that we struggle with choices. It's something that all of us struggle with. And I think God tries to make it easier because of that. And if you think back to all the people we looked at in the first half of those various cases, Jonah, Moses, the various disciples. On the whole, when they were called, how many choices did they have? They had, on the whole, two choices usually. They either could go God's way, or they could go their own way. That was the choices that they had. Essentially, they could have life, or they could have death. Those are the choices that God gave to them. And like I said, God always tries, I think, to keep it simple for us. He doesn't give us a ridiculous number of choices that we can't quite fathom between. He keeps it simple. He makes it easier for us because he knows that we struggle making choices. Come with me to Genesis chapter 2, if you will. We're just going to look at two passages in this half before we finish. And this is one of them. Genesis chapter 2, where we see the first recorded choice that had to be made. And of course, we have Adam and Eve here, struggling to make a choice. They're faced with a dilemma. Again, remember what the situation they were in. They had a nice setup, didn't they? They were there, living in the Garden of Eden. It was paradise, quite literally. I don't think we can probably comprehend how amazing it was where they were living. You know, they had the whole run of the area. They could freely roam with the animals. They could eat what they want. On top of all that, they were immortal. You know, this was an incredible existence that they had. But God gave to Adam a very single, specific rule. Just one rule. Let's read about that. Genesis 2, verse 15. So when that's Exodus 2, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Well, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but, verse 17, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So Adam and Eve essentially had two choices. They could either obey the rule and live, or they could disobey the rule and die. That was that was the choice they had. It was pretty clear cut. It wasn't ambiguous, was it? It wasn't difficult for them to understand. It was a fairly straightforward situation that God presented them with. And of course, we know what happened. Come over to the next chapter, chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 6, where we see what happened. So, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant for the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate, and she gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then both of the eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And Adam and Eve, of course, break God's only rule to them. And of course, they became changed people, didn't they? They became mortal in so doing that. And of course, that's a state that we have inherited from them, that we are mortal, that we now die because of that one situation that they came across. And I'm sure, as a decision, the crossroads that they came to at that point, I'm sure they wished all the way through the rest of their lives that they could have revisited that crossroads, that they could have gone in a different direction. And yet they couldn't. That choice had been made, and they had to learn that choices have consequences, and they do have consequences. You know, God will allow us to make all sorts of choices. He will allow us to go in all sorts of directions. But he expects us to live with the consequences and to accept the consequences of our actions. Just to contrast with this, come with me to the other passage I was going to look at this in this half, and that's in Luke chapter 22. Into the New Testament here we have Luke 22. Some incredible choices had to be made here. Quite literally, life and death choices and decisions. Of course, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Luke 22, he's right at the end of his three-year ministry. He's in Jerusalem. The Jewish leaders all wanted him dead. Judas has already betrayed him. And now Jesus takes those remaining disciples off to the Garden of Gethsemane to think and to pray as they often did. Let's read then from Luke 22, verse 39. And coming out, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And Jesus clearly here was finding it tough, wasn't he? The huge mental anguish that he would have had trying to make this decision, this choice that he had ahead of him. And he essentially puts that choice to God in prayer, doesn't he? And again, without going off at a tangent, what an amazing example that is to us all. That when we have choices in life, it's so important that we put them to God. That we explain them to God and we ask God for his guidance and his help with those things. And that's exactly what Jesus did. And he says to God, essentially, look, God, if there's another way that you can save mankind, please consider it. However, I will do what you want me to do. I will do your will, not mine, Father. It is your will, not mine. But the choice at the end of the day was still Jesus's, wasn't it? We're not taking anything away from that. You know, it wasn't that Jesus was taken not of his own free will. He gave himself for it. It was his choice. He could have easily escaped from that garden, couldn't he? He could have disappeared into a different part of the garden. He could have escaped by one means or another. But he didn't. He stayed. And he knew that Judas would come with those guards. He knew that he would be arrested. But why did he do it? Why, you know, if that was us in that situation, would we have done that? Why did Jesus do that? Because surely it would mean certain death. And of course we know that, because it was his love, that incredible love that he had for his Father and for his plan and his purpose and for, of course, mankind, for you and for me. That is the reason why he stayed in that garden that night. Because he understood what God's plan was. He understood that there was only one route to reverse that situation that had happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. That problem of mortality. There's only one way of reversing that. And he knew that it had to be him. He understood that they only needed a sinless sacrifice, and that really it was only him who was the option. But still he gave himself so that others wouldn't have to die. That was his choice. That was the choice that Jesus made. And that, I have to say, blows my mind. To think that was a choice that he physically made. Because I'm fairly sure most of us, if not all of us, wouldn't have made that choice. I think we would have struggled and we would have found any other way possible. But we wouldn't have gone ahead as he had done. But who then did he die for? We say all the time, don't we? Well, Jesus died to save others. Well, who was it who Jesus died for? It was all the who me's of this world, wasn't it? All those people who we've been looking at, who God called to follow him. It was all the people we saw in part one, wasn't it? The everyday folk who God called, who Jesus called. It's you. It's me. We are all people who Jesus died to save. We are the people who have been called. And you might be thinking to yourself, oh, hang on a second. You know, hang on, slow up a bit here. I haven't been called. I haven't had any big, momentous kind of conversion. I haven't seen any big flashing lights or anything. I've not been called. It hasn't happened to me yet. I'm still waiting. Well, actually, yes, you have been called. That's the funny thing. Very rarely is there any big, momentous calling. Because actually, we've all been called. The calling of God is here in our hands. It's on our laps right now. It's the Bible. The message that is contained therein. God is calling us through the gospel message, which he has purposed to make sure it's there for mankind through the ages. That's our calling. It's there. And if we read it and we try and understand it and we accept that what Jesus has done for us in giving his life, that is the calling. That is the call. You know, that is our calling. So all of us here are in that situation. All of us are in this who-me situation. Almost incredulous, isn't it, that God would want us? Why would God want us? We're just sinners. But he does. And we've got to remember, haven't we, what Jesus said in Matthew's house, that ex-tax collector. He said to them there, of course, wasn't he, that he came to call sinners. He came to call and to save sinners. Not the righteous, but those who needed him. And of course, that's us. Jesus calls us, as we sang about in that hymn, and asks us to follow him. So here we then stand at a crossroads, essentially, don't we? Just like Jonah did, just like Moses did, just like the disciples did. We are faced with a decision to make. And what choice will you make? As ever, there's only two options, aren't there? We either follow Jesus and live, or we carry on with our own existing lives and die. It's as simple as that. Those are the two options that we have. And maybe that's the challenge for us. Maybe that's what we've got to be going away and thinking about. You know, are we brave enough to make that choice? Are we brave enough to move on from those crossroads and decide which way we want to go? Are we brave enough not to move on from those crossroads? Because actually the consequences of not making a decision at all, they're also quite frightening. Because this is a limited offer. We need to make a decision before Jesus returns. And looking at the current world and all the problems and all the issues, we talked about it this morning, and it can't be long before Jesus returns to this earth. So in summary, you have been called. I have been called. Who, me? God's called me? There must be some mistake. God wouldn't want me. I'm just a sinner. You know, I say stupid things, I think stupid things, I do stupid things. Why would God want me? But he does. God does want me. God does want you. He has called all of us. And now we need to make our own choice, don't we? While we still have a choice, not throw it away or ignore that the choice is there. Not waste that sacrifice that Jesus has made on our behalf. And of course, like Jesus did, we've got to pray about it. We've got to make sure that we talk to God about these decisions in our lives, that we should make the right decision. So what's it to be then? Life or death? It's as simple as that, isn't it? Those are the options that we face. And really, the only thing that is left to work out is which way will you go?